Hi, I'm Francesca Rhiannon, and this is a special Web Extra edition of Writer's Voice. Rolling Stone investigative reporter Greg Palast busted Jeb Bush for stealing the 2000 election for his brother by purging black voters from Florida's electoral rolls. Now, with his new film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Palast is back to take a deep dive into the Republicans' dark operation, Crosscheck, and the billionaires who finance it. Crosscheck is designed to steal 1 million minority votes by this November's election. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy premieres in New York City on Friday, September 23rd at the Cinepolis Chelsea and runs until Thursday, September 29th. The West Coast premiere starts in Los Angeles, September 30th at Lemley NoHo 7 and ends October 6th. There will be Q&As with Greg Palast and special friends like Reverend Billy, Rosario Dawson, and Josh Fox at certain screenings. Well, Greg Palast, welcome back to Writer's Voice.
Glad to be here.
So this is just a terrific film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
Yes.
This is a really comprehensive film that focuses on voter suppression. And it starts with an Inuit man who is saying, fuck you to you. Why is that?
Well, I'm actually standing with him in the carcass of a whale up in the Arctic, above the Arctic Circle. And you'll find out in the film, and I give away nothing because there's so many stories in the film. You find out later that he's the head of the Inuit speakers above the Arctic, in the Arctic, and they're being threatened by oil drilling. And who needs the oil? We do an investigation in the film, and of course it's the brothers Koch who have bought the Alaska pipeline, which is empty, and they need to fill it, and that's your Arctic oil. But of course, if we drill in the Arctic, that's the end of the Eskimo, as far as they're concerned. They live off whales, and that's why I'm sitting in a whale carcass, and whales don't like to swim in oil. Mm-hmm. So why does that come into a story, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, about election, about a story that centrally about vote theft and stealing elections? Because people don't steal votes to steal an office, a political office. They steal it to steal the money. And so the point of the film, and its subtitle is called A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, because it's the money. It's the guys behind the manipulation of elections, who pretty much are apolitical people. They're in it. What a billionaire wants is another billion, and they'll do anything to get it, anything, whether it's destroying the Eskimo culture, poisoning your water, you name it. And so I hunt down, like, in the end, the trail leads me to the brothers Koch, who, if you remember in the film, I've been studying and investigating them even before as a reporter for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things is I have one of the brothers, Billy Koch, their four brothers, ratting on his other two brothers, Charles, mainly on Charles, for committing felony crimes to make his money. And then he explains how they buy off politicians illegally, by the way. You know, Citizens United, by the way, was part of the Koch plan to decriminalize their activities. They were illegally funding campaigns through their corporations, which is a complete, that's a crime. Because, by the way, one of the reasons it's a crime is that they're taking his tax deductions, a business expense for a political donation. They're stealing. Understand, it's theft. It's theft of our elections. It's theft of our democracy. But they're stealing, like, cash money. And they're doing it because they want cash money. So how do I get these guys to find out? Well, I'm an old-fashioned gumshoe investigative reporter because I was an old-fashioned gumshoe. I was a detective and investigator on big, giant racketeering cases, still just, you know, kind of a souped-up Sam Spade.
Mm-hmm. And you look the part.
Yeah. I wear a fedora, and as you found in the film, it has many good uses. I have one of my fedoras. My chief of investigations, Lenny Badpenny, put a camera inside the hat brim of one. There's a little pinhole camera. When I jump the billionaire who's behind Donald Trump, that is JP, the foreclosure king. Now, we say, what do you mean the billionaire behind Trump? Most people don't realize Donald Trump merely plays a billionaire on television. He's not a billionaire, not even close. He's hocked up to his eyeballs. So his money actually comes from JP, John Paul's, he's known as JP, John Paul's the Foreclosure King. And as you see in the film, as Santa Claus explains to me in the film, and by the way, if you're wondering how Santa Claus explains things into the film, we do a lot, as you know, having seen it, through cartoons, through animations of all kinds. And this one is narrated by Santa Claus. Just I would note that the studio said, how do we know which parts are real in this film and which are made up? I said, when you see Santa Claus, that's made up. And it's really Ed Asner. So Ed Asner's there explaining how JP the Foreclosure King made $5 billion in 1 year through a creepy and on the edge of legality kick into the guts of the mortgage market. And that, of course, collapsed the entire world's economy. But he personally pulled $5 billion out of it. He's the guy behind Trump.
And Trump, by the way, has been saying that this election is going to be rigged. Now, in the beginning, he didn't really specify what he meant. But more recently, he's been actually channeling the whole idea of voter fraud.
Yes.
This is something you really tackle. It's a central idea. Explain what voter fraud is, and more importantly, what the hysteria over voter fraud is.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump says the election's rigged, and he ought to know because his buddies are rigging it. And in particular, he has said that the way that they're rigging it, that the way the election is being rigged is by people voting multiple times. He says people are voting many, many times. People are voting multiple times. Well, if you vote more than once in election, yeah, that is a federal crime. So, Donald, where did you get the idea that people are voting many times? It's from his operatives, these Republican GOP operatives like Chris Kobach, who's the Secretary of State of Kansas. He's like the Catherine Harris of 2016. And he has taken the voter rolls of 30 Republican states, put them together, and found the double voters lurking in the American electorate. And there are 7 million suspects on his list, 7 million people. And what they're doing is the GOP is systematically removing these people from the voter rolls. They don't know it. They don't realize that they're being thrown off the voter rolls because they've been accused of voting twice. They get no notice of this. But I investigated. I said, give me the list of these terrible double voters. And you'll see this in the film. This the one big story that keeps going through the film is my hunt for those who are creating these lists and who's behind them, etc. So they're creating these lists, and there are 7 million people on the suspect list. They wouldn't give it to me because they said, well, it's confidential because it's a criminal investigation. I said, you have 7 million suspects in a crime? Really? You want to give me some of those names? No. Have you arrested anyone? No. Why? It's hard to find them. I said, how is it hard to find people who vote twice? You got their addresses, and they walk into the voting booth. They just cuff them. The reason they don't arrest any of these suspects, is that they didn't commit the crime. Their only crime is voting while black or brown or Asian. And what it is it's a list. I finally got my hands on it. As you see in the film, this gives away nothing because there's so many stories in there in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. I get my hands on 2 million of their suspect names. And we have run through the list. And first of all, we find out it's people like Maria Isabel Hernandez, who votes in Virginia, supposed to be the same exact voter as Maria Cristina Hernandez, who votes in Louisiana. Now, are these the same person? Is she like Maria sneaking around and having a different middle name? Or is it the problem that it's just a common name? Well, it's not a common name for Republicans. So Maria Hernandez, Jesse Jackson, James Brown, David Lee, David Wong, you're getting the picture.
Yeah, in fact, you say as much as 20% of voters of color in certain states, like, is it Ohio, are actually on this list. I mean, if you purge 20% of the voters on a voter list, and if they tend to vote Democratic, Ohio's a swing state.
Exactly. Ohio, North Carolina, Arizona, these are the top swing states that are going to determine not only the presidency, but even more important, the United States Senate. These are the hottest Senate races, Ohio and North Carolina and Arizona and the other states using this cross-check purge system of scrubbing the voters white, the voter rolls whiter than white. And so, yeah, you're up to, in some states, 1 in 5 minority voters. Throughout the 30 states, 1 in 8 Asian Americans. Why? Especially, and it's even worse in the Korean community. Now, why would they go after Asian Americans? They used to vote Republican. They switch. They vote as if they've turned black. And you see that in the film when they, there's this thing called voting Gangnam Style, and you got these Korean kids doing a hip hop. And then suddenly one of them turns into John Lewis because they're turning black as voters. And, you know, so the film is meant to expose this, and the book that goes with it are meant to expose this creepy thing of removing voters of color through this trick of saying, oh, James Brown literally voted 288 times in Georgia. Or is it just a common name? And of course, I did this story, by the way, for Rolling Stone. And but it got not a lot of notice in the mainstream press all over the rest of the world. I was just on the primetime in Germany, for example. I'm BBC Nightly News. I'm all over the world mainstream. In a few minutes, I'm going to be interviewed by Argentine TV for Buenos Aires' main news program. Well, why not in my own country? This is a very important question. So I'm locked out of our press in the United States. So I have to get around it by writing books and comic books. I'm having a comic book coming out. I'm having a comic book coming out of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. The film has comics in it, as you know. We got the guy who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit to make these animations that you see throughout the film. And so one way I sneak it around, I kind of use Michael Moore's trick of making it entertainment as opposed to technically in the news, but it's very hardcore news reporting. It's just that it's very, very entertaining.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a terrific film, and it covers a lot of ground. I just want to ask you a question, though, because you actually interviewed me, in full disclosure, last spring because I had been a poll worker. And yes, there was now I live in a district where there are a lot of Latino voters, so you could say that too, but there are also a lot of white working class voters. And when I had gone, you know, canvassing in the area, it was overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders and Trump. About 30% of the people on our voter rolls in my election district had been purged. So could you say, are they also beginning to expand this idea of purging to other groups like young people or even working class voters?
Yes, well, one thing I've noticed and that I've written about is that the tricks that have been used against black Americans for years are suddenly used against, for example, Bernie Sanders voters. So I said, for the first time, white people were treated as if they turned black when they showed up at the polling station. So you have to understand, if you're black, you're going to get about 1 in 7 black people are going to be handed something called a provisional ballot, which doesn't get counted, doesn't have to be counted. Because your name's on the voter roll. They don't like your ID. Anything. They say, oh, don't worry, so you don't scream. They give you this thing called a provisional ballot. I call it a placebo ballot. For example, if your name's not on the voter roll and you fill out a placebo ballot, provisional ballot, you think you voted. But if you're not on the voter roll, you're not on the voter roll. They can't count your vote. But even if they took it, even if they killed your registration because they falsely accused you of voting another time, falsely accused you of being an alien. This is the trick that they use on Hispanics, right? They say, oh, well, on the deportation list, there's a guy named Jose Hernandez. You're Jose Hernandez. And you can't say, well, you know, it's el mismo nombre. It's the same name. No, that doesn't count. Sorry, you are Jose Hernandez. They know you're not that Jose Hernandez, but it's an excuse to knock off your vote. It's cheap. It's crappy. It's low. It's apartheid. But it's not the old type of redneck racism that kept black people from voting 50 years ago. This is new and sophisticated. These are billionaires funding programs which take away the votes of minorities or students or lower working class people. These are people that are hostile to the system. They got to get them off the voter roll. So they use all these tricks. And my job as a reporter for many years is to expose the tricks and the people and the fat cats who are funding this stuff and profiting from it. That's why I go to the Arctic. You have to know why they're stealing votes. And I go down to Venezuela and meet with Hugo Chavez, for example.
You're listening to a special web edition of Writer's Voice, and we're talking with Greg Palast about his new movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. You just said you talked to the billionaires behind it. You've mentioned John Paulson. Mm-hmm. There's another guy you talk about in the film who you actually wrote a book in which he prominently figured, and that's Paul Singer, the Vulture. Mm-hmm. Talk about his connection to this whole voter suppression thing.
Yes, well, what Paul Singer, known as the Vulture, and I think...
Why?
'Cause he's, well, you'll see in the film, I take you with me to the Congo and to Latin America, and I go to a cholera clinic. There are people dying of cholera still in the Congos. There's two nations, the Congos. Why? They don't have clean water. Why? They've been given money by the U.S. Treasury and European Union for. So what happened to that money? It was seized by this guy called the Vulture, and he got the name the Vulture because his vulture finance attacks, as they're known. He grabs poor nations, poor companies, poor people, grabs hold their old debts, and he becomes like an international repo man. And he'll say, unless you pay me, and not just pay me for some old debt or bonds, once he gets control, he demands 100 or even 1,000 times what he paid. He extorts money. And when I use the term extortion, I'm quoting the United States Treasury calls him an extortionist. The United States Treasury. He took, as you'll see in the film, the Vulture, Singer the Vulture actually secretly grabbed a hold of General Motors parts division, Delphi, financially while they were in crisis, and told the U.S. government, unless you give me $12 billion, me and my friend JP, the guy that wrecked the mortgage market, unless you give us $12 billion, we are going to literally cut off GM's parts. You won't have any parts. GM was in bankruptcy. It would have liquidated, and you'd have had 500,000 jobs just disappear. So Obama told the Treasury you got to pay him. It's extortion. And they screamed. The U.S. Treasury called it extortion. The president of Argentina, who suffered an attack by the Vulture, called it extortion.
And isn't he involved with Puerto Rico?
Well, his buddy John Paulson. See, there's this whole billionaire thing. They trade off their victims because Puerto Rico is such a small carcass to chew that you can't have too many billionaires going after it. So that's left to JP, the foreclosure king. And so again, these are they don't have, by the way, big politics, these guys. They support Democrats, support Republicans. But right now it's to their advantage to support Republicans for the most part. And the easiest way to support Republicans is get rid of a black guy off the voter rolls.
Now, you mentioned Delphi, the Paul Singer and John Paulson were involved with the shutting down of this factory. You also go to a church where, am I right, there are workers who were laid off from Delphi who are then, you know, they try to go and do early voting on a Sunday. Do I have this right?
Yep. Okay, here's the story. It's very important. There's a lot going on in this film and in the book, which is why you should read the book and see the film. And then if you're still confused, the comic book's coming out in a few weeks. Read the comic book. I like comic books, by the way. Bobby Kennedy and I made a comic book. That was called Steal Back Your Vote. This one will be called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, with the great cartoon character Rosario Dawson. What happened there is that I want to take you to see the billionaire's victims. As I say in the film a couple times, there's no such thing as a victimless billionaire. So when Paul Singer, the Vulture, and JP, the foreclosure king, extort $12 billion from the U.S. Treasury to keep open General Motors, they then moved every single union job to China, out of the U.S., every single union job was shifted overseas. So towns like Dayton, Ohio are completely demolished. But as I say in the film, you can't take away someone's job and take away their hopes and destroy their lives without taking away their vote, because they'll vote against you. They'll stop the system, right? they'll say we're for Bernie. Even for Trump is just, you know, wild, you know, they, whether you agree with that or not, they are going to vote in reaction to being ripped off. And so you have to stop them from voting. So, for example, there's a church where it's almost everyone in the church was a Delphi worker, the Freedom Faith Missionary Baptist Church of Dayton. And I showed up. I just showed up, by the way. They're very kind. You see the woman say, would you like to join us for services? I say, sure. And it's great. You know, you get the great gospel music. And then they all, it's Souls to the Polls Day. This is, now I flash back to 2012. Souls to the Polls Day. I get in the church van with them, and we go off to early voting in Ohio. And what happens? We get to Dayton. And now, on the day when white people vote, which is the Tuesday, which is what we call normal election day, black people don't get the day off, or they don't have wheels, so they have to go on the Sunday for early voting. On white voting day, there were 176 polling stations in the Montgomery area and the Dayton-Montgomery County area. On the Souls to the Polls Day, the Republican state elections chief ordered that there be only one single polling station per city. So all of Cleveland had one polling station. All of Dayton had one polling station. And you can see in the film, I'm walking along this line, 80,000 people, almost all of them black folk, were told to wait in line for a single polling station. The county election chief was going crazy. He knew. And I said, why are they doing this? And he said, because they can challenge these votes. Dig this. They wait in line 5 hours and they don't get to vote. They were ordered not to let people vote, but to give them absentee ballots. Now, you understand, they're not absent. This is an official polling station. They've waited 5 hours. They get a number, and when their number is called, they get an absentee ballot. They fill out the application for an absentee ballot. They wait in another line, get an absentee ballot, fill that out, stick it in the envelope. They don't make them put a stamp on it because they're right there in the office. They just hand it in. Now, why would they do that? One, 5 hours hoping to discourage you. Second, making this a complicated process. And third, as I, in the middle of the night, I drive in the film, I drive in the middle of the night to Professor Bob Fitrakis' house, a voting rights expert, and he said, my God, this is horrible because if you vote, it's in the machine, you vote. But if you hand in an absentee ballot, you're playing roulette because you have to fill out all these forms, any stray mark on an absentee ballot, any stray mark on the form, you forgot your middle initial, you forgot that you registered with your middle initial, you're dead. You added junior when you registered, but you didn't sign it junior when you did the absentee ballot. Or you signed the junior and you didn't when you registered and you didn't remember. Or it says you have to add your driver's license. If you leave it blank because you don't have a driver's license, they disqualify your ballot. You're supposed to say no driver's license, but they don't tell you that. So it's all these tricks. And over a million absentee ballots. People mail in their ballots. Don't go postal. But they did this because they knew that this was the black voting day. So you have an apartheid voting system in America. It's all about being able to manipulate that vote. And that's why Karl Rove went crazy back in 2012. Because he said he called the Secretary of State. And I heard his entire statement that night. He was talking about the early voting. And he says, well, we're going to have to take a look at those early votes, because he thought that they were going to challenge 200,000 black votes. Well, we busted it, and we went when I did that report, Bob Fitrakis actually went into a federal court that morning and busted the scheme.
You're listening to a special web edition of Writer's Voice, and we're talking with Greg Palast about his new movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. So you're talking about how they are challenging these votes, they're purging voters, absentee ballots is, you know, Russian roulette with a ballot. Talk about the Voting Rights Act and how the decision in 2013 to strike down a key provision, I believe it was 4B of the Voting Rights Act, how that has made things so much worse now as we're going into the 2016 election.
In 2013, the Supreme Court cut the guts out of the Voting Rights Act and literally Within hours, not even days, within hours, Alabama and a bunch of other states changed their laws because they no longer were under federal scrutiny to prove that they're not discriminating against voters of color. So literally within hours, they started going back to the old Jim Crow laws. And for example, this whole system of looking for hunting for double voters, removing them from the voter rolls called cross-check, that could have never spread until that Voting Rights Act was pulled out of the way. So cross-check suddenly started traveling around the country like a virus till it grew to 7 million suspects. And we're going to have a million people who are going to show up at the polling stations in November. They're not going to be on the voter rolls. They won't even know why. Then all these new voter ID laws, like there was, like I go in the film, I go to Alabama, and within literally 2 hours after the court decision came down, Alabama passed a law requiring that everyone have, if not a driver's license, a identification card from the Department of Motor Vehicles. And then within another day, they closed almost every DMV in the 10 Black Belt counties, the 10 counties where most black people live in Alabama. They simply said, okay, you need to have a DMV certificate, and we're closing all the DMV offices. So this is one of the tricks. And then I go meet with Senator Hank Sanders, who was one of the original marchers with Martin Luther King. And one of the things that's great about America, here was a guy whose parents couldn't vote. He couldn't vote. King began his march for voting rights in Selma, Alabama. And by the time he arrived in Montgomery, we had the president backing the Voting Rights Act. So we end up with Sanders becoming a state senator. So Senator Sanders calls me up and said, Greg, I've been removed from the voter rolls, and I'm a state senator. This is really getting out of control. And they said, if they can do that to me, they can do it to anyone. So then we go back, and how do we overcome this? And how do we overcome it? And there's that song, We Shall Overcome.
It does seem to be a pretty difficult thing. This election is coming up very, very quickly. It's a really critical election. So what I'd like to ask you is, you give a long-term kind of a solution that is a mass movement, and you can talk about that. But what are we going to do between now and then, between now and the first Tuesday in November?
Well, a couple things. Number one, if you get the book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, or you get either of my comic books, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy or Steal Back Your Vote, at the end of the books, and also at gregpalace.com, I have something called How to Beat the Ballot Bandits. You know, it's kind of a protect your vote, so I call it kind of a ballot condom. It's protection. And one of the things you can do, for example, to defeat, if you are on this evil secret cross-check list of supposedly voting twice because your name happens to be David Washington, you can overcome it by registering again. Every state, you can register online now. And I tell people, please register online. They say, well, I've been registered. I've been voting 20 years. That's what they want you to think. Then you show up to vote. And they go, your name's not on here. Why? I've been voting all these years. Sorry, Jack. You ain't voting because you've been on a list that you didn't know about. You've been accused of being a felon. You've been accused of being an alien. You've been accused of voting in another state already. And this, you know, and you don't know this, and it's all crazy, and you don't have any time to fix this. So what you do is you fix it before you get there. Take preventive steps. That's one thing, is to simply re-register. It defeats their disenfranchising system. By the way, you used the term disenfranchisement or vote suppression. But when someone steals your car, they don't suppress your car. They steal it. You know, so it's very important. So there's many steps. Go to gregpalace.com. Look, 7 ways to beat the ballot bandits. And the important thing is that you can take steps, but you have to also be part of a movement which shines the light. I mean, one of the simplest things we did, we have at gregpalace.com a petition that was put together by the Congressional Black Caucus, Alcee Hastings, Congressman Keith Ellison, and others, and signed by Martin Luther King III, and also Hispanic and Asian voting rights activists. It's a petition to the Justice Department to open up these secret hit lists and to end this system of removing people for voting twice, because it's a crime that doesn't happen, but it's a punishment that is meted out to a million people. So we have a petition. Now, I have to tell you that the Congressional Black Caucus is not waiting around. They've already gone to the Department of Justice. They've said, based on Greg Palast's investigations in his book and Rolling Stone and now in his film, they said, you have all the evidence you need to open a criminal investigation of what the GOP secretaries of state are doing. You have that, a complete, let's cuff them. In the meantime, while we're waiting for justice and the Justice Department, we have to take these steps ourselves. But if we sign the petition, the value is that, you know, justice is supposed to do things and judge is supposed to do things based purely on the law. They work on political pressure. And so if the billionaires create pressure through their money, we have to create pressure through our numbers. And that means everyone signs, everyone votes. And one thing I don't want people to do is be discouraged that it's difficult to vote, so I don't want to bother. Oh, I've got to check my registration now before I even go down to vote. I got to go online. Yes, you do. I got to bring other people. I got to fight for it. Well, sorry. Mm-hmm. You're going to fight for democracy.
Yes, you do. Now, I also want to ask you, you mentioned stealing. And voter suppression is one way to steal the vote. Another way to steal the vote is through rigging the ballots. And Election Justice USA, which I work with now since my experience as a poll worker, has been working on that side of the issue, kind of looking at the stealing of electronic voting machines. Bob Fitrakis, by the way, who you interviewed, has also done a lot of work on that. So I wonder if you could weigh in on these two different legs of stealing our democracy.
Yeah, see, one of the problems is we tend to concentrate on one thing at a time, and the thieves. So we're always locking one door where the thieves are pouring in through the windows. So you'll have the Brennan Center, which I'm thank you to the Brennan Center for Justice, backing and promoting the film The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And that's wonderful. But, like, for example, their big issue has been voter ID. Not their only issue, but voter ID. These ridiculous laws, because who imitates someone else? You know, they say Mickey Mouse tried to register, but no rodent shows up to vote. That's not the issue. So they're worried about that thing. Bob Fitrakis, who's in my film Brilliant, voting rights lawyer, he's also very concerned about how the electronic voting with no paper records and no way to audit has taken over the country.
And by the way, even OptiScan machines can be audited either aren't audited or the vote can be changed at the central vote tabulator.
One of the subtitles of my book is How to Steal an Election, 10 Easy Steps. There's actually 200 ways to steal an election, but 10 big ones. And for example, when you get to electronic voting machines, I mean, when I'm dealing with the minority vote. So minority voters are first and foremost concerned about the right to be able to get to that ballot, because their big problem is that they're constantly wiped off the voter rolls. And so they don't even get to have their vote stolen because they don't get to vote. Or they get a provisional ballot and that's thrown in the garbage. So one thing I've been looking at, because I'm a specialist in investigating suppression or theft of minority votes, is that and the number one way votes are stolen electronically, are you ready for this one? They unplug the machine. It's just unplug the machine. What they do is the machine doesn't work, right? And so two things happen. Either they say the machine isn't working, and then the polls are backed up for 3 hours and nothing's happening, which happens all the time in minority communities only. This is very interesting. And there's reasons. You know, they give them the bad machines. They don't give them the codes to open up. The tricks are amazing. So it's a simple thing. The second is a glitch, not something sophisticated, which switches your vote from, say, you know, from Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump, but rather wipes out the vote. In other words, a glitch in which the memory card is destroyed or simply fails to record. So you have precincts, for example, in Florida, when there was the election to replace Katherine Harris, over 20,000 votes were lost because in black precincts out in the Tampa area, there were no votes recorded. So people went in and voted, and there are no votes recorded. Oh, sorry. Oh, something must have gone wrong with the machines. But we don't know who people voted for. What do you mean? You don't know who people voted for? It's all black precincts. Who do you think that they voted for? Now, by the way, in New York, you would rerun the election. You know, by the way, there's nothing that says if we catch these things, oh, geez, it's too late. That's another creepy trick, is to deny you the right to appeal and recast that and redo the balloting. So, for example, in that Florida race, the Republican won by like 500 votes with 20,000 black votes not counted. They say, well, we don't know how those guys count. Gee, it's just a glitch, a mistake. Okay? So one of the easy ways, the easiest single way to steal votes electronically is that in your opponent's precincts, you simply make sure that these votes don't count at all. You don't have to get fancy and switch them or rewrite the software. You just make sure that when the ballots are, when the machines are opened or closed or tabulated, that it just goes zip, disappears. Gee, we're sorry.
Well, that's why Election Justice USA is pushing for 100% hand-counted ballots. And Greg Palast, this has just been a terrific interview. The film is a terrific film. I urge everybody to go see it. And thank you so much for talking with us again on Writer's Voice.
Thank you so much, Francesca. It's always fun.
You've been listening to a special Web Extra edition of Writer's Voice. We spoke with investigative reporter Greg Palast about his new film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It's based on his recent book of the same title. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy premieres in New York City on Friday, September 23rd at the Cinépolis Chelsea and runs until Thursday, September 29th. The West Coast premiere starts in Los Angeles September 30th at Lemley NoHo 7 and ends October 6th. There will be Q&As with Greg Palast and special friends like Reverend Billy, Rosario Dawson, and Josh Fox at certain screenings. Writer's Voice airs on community and public radio stations around the country, and you can subscribe to the podcast or get it delivered straight to your inbox. I'm your host, Francesca Rhiannon.